today's podcast was fantastic to record. I actually talked with Miranda Signa. Miranda is the director of global services here at Rapid7, and we actually talked about kind of her background of going from being a developer in IT, moving to security, figuring out, you know, how to run pen testing, red teaming, all the different stuff that a lot of us have to face all the time, and then using that to go into more of the services world. We talked about measuring cybersecurity maturity. We talked about what to look for from a services partner, the different things that I think are very practical to folks who maybe are looking to bring on a partner, whether it's from a consultative standpoint or a managed services standpoint. And actually, we talked about that and the difference between those things. So enjoy the conversation with Miranda. I definitely did.
You're listening to Security Nation with host Kyle Flaherty.
So one of the first things kind of I was thinking about as you and I kind of have worked together for the last few months, when a company or a team, specifically let's talk security teams to be pretty specific, when they're looking at services versus products, what are the things that are going on with that team to make them even think about those two distinct, solutions?
Sure. So I think if we're talking about managed services, most organizations are going to leverage an MSSP for staff augmentation due to either a resource gap in headcount or a skills gap, or both. But if we're talking about more of a consultative service, then organizations are often going to seek security services due to their objectivity and expertise. So they're looking for an independent third party that can assess their organization and their processes and controls, evaluate current state, and then provide guidance on strategic plans and spending. So we've seen organizations of all size and industry and complexity achieve success when they are open to seeking that outside assistance and expertise to help them prioritize their efforts and focus areas. I think it can be really overwhelming sometimes with just the list of action items and initiatives that you have in front of you. And so seeking out a services provider can really kind of help make sense of that chaos and those conflicting priorities.
And obviously, you know, listen, we got some biases here, right? We're a vendor. And we have both sides, managed services, assessment services, consulting, all these types of things. But for folks who maybe are new to this game, kind of what's the difference between a managed service and a more consultative service?
So in a managed service, you're really looking, again, kind of for that staff augmentation perspective. You know that you don't have the skills in-house. Perhaps you don't have the budget for the full-time hire. So you're looking for an external party to come in and take over part of your security processes. And so then in turn, then you know that you can then shift your internal resources to areas that are of highest priority or where you know you've got that coverage. I think potentially the gap in a managed service or the risk in a managed service offering is when you're using a managed service provider, you're not building that institutional knowledge within your organization. And so if and when you then in the future convert over to start bringing those processes in-house, you know, those people that come in are going to have to often kind of start at the ground up. Versus a consultative or advisory service is these are often perhaps point in time assessments, or maybe this is an ongoing consultative kind of partner arrangement. But these are people that are going to help augment your team, not in a full-time capacity, but someone that you have that you can seek out technical expertise or strategic advice. It's the people that you can kind of throw the spaghetti against the wall and they can help you figure out what's going to stick, help evaluate vendors, solutions, go-forward plans. And they're really just kind of that extension of your security leadership and technical team.
So in both cases, we're talking, obviously there's technology and tools and stuff involved, but it's people. And depending on what your needs for the people are and all that stuff. But it brings up a question for me of, you know, what drew or what draws you to do this job? Like, what kind of brought you into this career of wanting to kind of be in that more consultative role and helping companies out?
Well, I started my career in IT. It's not really until really recently that colleges and universities are starting to fold security into the curriculum. So I started my career as a developer, and I ended up working as the years went on, working more and more closely with my internal security team, because as we were developing our software and our programs, the security team was then doing testing and finding vulnerabilities for us to fix. And so then we would take these, you know, like OWASP report type reports and go, spin up projects to address those. And then I started taking over things like business continuity and disaster recovery, which certainly has a bit of a security flair with it as well. And I just really loved the idea of, looking holistically at a process or a business, and trying to make sure that we were implementing security appropriately. So I transitioned over into the security organization in my previous employer and ran the pen testing and vulnerability management program. And that was really rewarding. It was a very fun but also challenging role. And, what I found is we made a lot of mistakes along the way. And when I decided to move into more of a consultative role, I thought that while I'm never going to be the smartest person in the room, and no person that I ever employ is probably ever going to be the smartest person in the room, we do come to the table with our own experience and the experience that we've seen with our customers and what has worked and what has not. And if we can help people learn from others' mistakes and the challenges and what we have put in place, or what we have recommended or what we've seen other organizations do successfully, we can really kickstart their program or expedite the successful implementation of their security program. So I love being able to help others through what I have done correctly in the past, but even more importantly, where my missteps were.
Yeah, and I would imagine that, obviously, it's a two-part question, but it's one is that's got to be difficult, too, to hire for your end. But the folks that you're consulting for are going to want to see people who have at least been in their shoes at some level.
Yeah, definitely. I think that... security services can certainly help address a general talent shortage, but it's a bit more than that. These consultative and advisory services can help companies elevate their security program and improve the maturity of their security controls and raise awareness with their leadership teams. And again, we as a consulting group, we have not only the benefit of what we have ourselves done, but we also have the insight that we have seen in what works successfully and what doesn't work successfully in other organizations that are similar, or perhaps those that are completely dissimilar. But there's a process that they've put in place or a technology they've had really great success with. And so we can bring that perspective to our customer base.
So that's interesting. And a lot of times when we're talking, to different folks here, we talk about, so I was just on the, we just recorded one with Liberty Wines, who is in the UK, and he's a longtime IT guy, moved into security, very similar kind of background. But we were talking in his case about how he filters through all the vendor FUD to actually find things that actually work for him, and just all the marketing BS that's out there. And I can say that because I'm in marketing. But I got to think it's similar in your realm too. And so I would ask, like, if I'm sitting here listening and, I'm like, yeah, I need something, like, what are the things I should ask or look out for? Or like, what are the top 2-3 kind of maybe let's not go red flag, maybe let's go green flag, like on the positive end of things I should look for from a consultant or, a consultancy, I guess.
So I think, certainly, a variety of technical certifications can speak to an individual consultant's, continual investment in his or her, education and training. So certainly seeing that they are, getting and maintaining those types of credentials. Also looking for people that are active in the industry, people that are blogging, that are attending security conferences, that are speaking at security conferences, that are really filling that thought leadership role. And then certainly, years of experience as not only a consultant, but as I said, those that have experience as practitioners, they've been on the front line, they've been in your shoes. And so there's really kind of an empathy link there. They understand what it's like to, have these challenges in front of them. And when you're working with someone that has been in your shoes before, they're going to be much better positioned to be able to help really kind of guide your program and streamline your processes and make recommendations that are going to be the most meaningful to you.
And we've talked a little bit about, we've mentioned pen testing, we've mentioned like security program development, things like that. Are there hot buttons right now for people of services that just seemingly, I don't want to say grew out of nowhere, but just seem to be the real kind of push right now, or is it always kind of the same ones for folks?
I'd say that it really varies based on the business drivers and then the security maturity within an organization. Mm. So my team works with many organizations that are focused on either building out or improving their overall security program. In some cases, they come to us because there's a heightened awareness and concern about their security posture, perhaps due to media coverage about security incidents and breaches occurring within the industry, or because they themselves experienced their own incident. In other cases, companies will approach us because they are increasing their security focus and budget. Perhaps they're establishing a formal security program or they have a new security leader or CISO in place, and they want to ensure that they're being mindful in their approach. So in either case, those companies are looking for an independent evaluation of their program to help jumpstart and drive their efforts. They're looking to understand the state of where they are and where they need to go in the future. Organizations that are a little bit more mature will often seek out engagements that are going to test the comprehensiveness of their controls and processes. So they're going to look for services like tabletop exercises, phishing campaigns, red team, blue team testing, and social engineering. So that approach is similar to doing regular business continuity and disaster recovery exercises, where you have your teams assembled and you have the processes established, and then you perform regular tests to evaluate how effective they are and then identify areas where you can improve.
And you mentioned security maturity, and it's something that I think we talk about a lot overall, but no one necessarily has the ability to define that. And so I wonder how do you define that? How do you kind of, determine what the maturity level is for an organization?
So for us, we're looking really for how sustainable the processes are and if it's going to scale. And we're looking for how strong the communication is within the organization as well. If there's executive awareness and understanding, is security part of the discussions when they're talking about future, business decisions? How elevated is security within the organization? There are lots of organizations that have a variety of technology in place, but are they leveraging those tools to the maximum potential? And are they really taking all of the data that's coming out of all of these IT and security tools and really harnessing them to help drive their business decisions and take a really kind of risk-based approach? So it really has to do not only with you know, specifically what are the tools and what are the processes, but then also how are they influencing and impacting decisions across the organization.
Mm. And then back to one of the things that, you know, we've talked about in the past, you know, and with your team specifically, but, you know, when you do decide to go the services route, whether even if it's managed or it's consulting, whatever it is that you decide to do, you are bringing you guys, people, into your, like, life and your security team and your environment and stuff like that. What are ways that the, I guess, the customer, the end user, the people that we care about, what are things that they can do to ensure that that's a good relationship? Like, what are some of the things that work really, really well to make sure that those people you've now brought into your life, no matter how long they're going to be there, it actually works best for them?
So I would say that, like, consultative and advisory services can be really powerful tools for new leaders, essentially delivering a top-down perspective about what is and isn't working and where they need to focus their efforts and versus what can be deprioritized. I'm of the opinion that any new leader should seek out this type of service because it can really set him or her up to be extremely successful and hit the ground running. They can leverage these services to identify and accomplish quick wins, to establish credibility within the organization, while also focusing on larger, more strategic efforts. Advisory services can also help companies identify where they might have resource gaps and give them recommendations for future hiring and identify where a skill shortage may be. So in some cases, as we just spoke, this may mean that an organization needs to consider outsourcing some of their security responsibilities to a managed services provider. And in that case, we'll often recommend that companies start with an outsourcing model and then move to more of a co-sourcing model, where that knowledge and responsibility is shared between the company resources and their managed services provider. Under a co-sourcing model, then the skills and resource gaps are addressed and allow them to build up that and maintain that tribal knowledge. But really, regardless of the type of service that a customer seeks out, it's going to be most important that they then are committed to taking the results of those services and the recommendations and advice, whether it's a maturity assessment or a penetration test or a tabletop exercise, but then really kind of treating that as a lesson learned and taking that and then implementing changes to continue to grow. I think where we've seen challenges with customers and organizations is if they have that limited budget and limited resources. And so they spend that time and effort to have this type of security service to help give them additional visibility and understanding. But then they struggle then in turn to take those results and do something meaningful with them right away because they've now used up their budget or additional priorities have now come into play. So it's going to be most important that they take the results of those services and really then go start implementing. And it doesn't have to be all in one fell swoop. An iterative approach can be really great, and it's really the best way to move forward with the results of service offerings.
It's funny because when you talk about certain things, you can really feel the passion that you have for this. So I'm actually wondering, like, what are your favorite projects to get involved in? Like, what's the thing that really just kind of drives you of when a company comes with XYZ problem? What's the ones that are just the best, the juiciest ones?
I mean, we always love when it's kind of that first thing that the organization is doing, to kind of address their security program. Mm. It's really starting them out and putting them on that path to success, making sure that they prioritize their efforts, and it helps with budget planning and future operational and capital expenditures. Those are the things that are going to set those teams and those managers and CISOs up for success, because they're not only getting that tactical advice, but we're giving them kind of the information at a high level to help drive their business and operational processes as well. So we love when a customer comes to us and they're starting out and they say, listen, we have, we're really motivated. We're assembling a team and we're just really looking for someone to partner with us to make sure that we're going in the right direction. Those are the ones that are the most rewarding to us because we know, as I just said, that they're going to take the results of those assessments and really start putting them into play. And they're going to then recognize, quarter over quarter and year over year success as they move forward. So those are always really, really fun to do.
And, I guess the last question I have is if you're kind of looking at your crystal ball, looking at 2017, 2020, moving down the pipe, and obviously you guys are always throwing out new services, in response to customer needs and what is needed out there. But where do you see things going overall? What are some new types of stuff that maybe we haven't even thought of yet?
So I think we see, we've certainly talked about this within Rapid7. We see the shift of security responsibilities being less about security teams and being more of kind of a broader IT focus. Mm-hmm. So I certainly see in the future the opportunity and the demand to start working not only just with security folks, but also with their IT and operational teams. To help understand how they can fold security into their just day-to-day lives. And honestly, that's what, when we do our assessments of organizations, we actually spend probably more time talking with IT folks than we do with the security teams because they're really the ones that are on the front line. So I certainly think that we will see a shift both in products as well as services to be more focused on empowering the IT professionals to start thinking more about security. Because as I said, just like me, security wasn't really something that I was trained on or that I gained in my education. So I think that's where we will start seeing the security industry shift is starting to train and empower and enable IT professionals.
Yeah, it's so funny that, I've been in security for a long time and there's just obviously a lot of us who have been here, most people started in IT and moved over, yet we're still talking about, seeing that, wall or that whatever it is kind of starting to come down and empowering the IT folks. I do think we're getting closer and closer, and so that's exciting to see. But it is just amazing that we continue to talk about this, and hopefully next year we see more and more of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, at least if I think about my prior experience, there's often almost an adversarial relationship between IT and security. And so I think that is up to, vendors and services providers to help, bridge that gap and bring those teams together. And that's when you start thinking about who you're bringing into your organization, both as your full-time hire, as well as who consultants are. You should be looking for more than just that IT piece, but you should be looking and that technical piece, but you should also be looking for the soft skills that are going to help bring those teams together.
Yeah. And I think it's not irony probably, but it's interesting to see how actually data is one of the things that's bringing all of that together, because that's a common shared thing for them, and how they actually slice it up and analyze it gives them each on each side insight into doing their job better. And so if they realize that, actually talking with one another instead of throwing stuff over the fence, can help. They're actually have a shared resource in that data to be able to just get the job done.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be really critical for security tools and technology to be able to create data and metrics and reporting that are going to resonate with a wide audience and not just those that are trained security professionals, because then you all of the teams can harness that data together.
Awesome. Miranda, thank you so much. This was enlightening as always, and it's a topic we actually haven't discussed yet on the podcast, so I'm excited that we actually got to do it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I was glad to talk with you today.
You bet, and I will talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.